Baltimore Bedlam. A night of fires and violence.
This is lawless gangs of thugs causing damage and injuring innocent people.
Residents angry and on edge.
I am simply pissed off.
Supreme Court considers gay marriage.
Count to five. Will we have five justices ready to rule for us?
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. It was an ugly night in Baltimore. Fires, looting, and violence.
We need the system to change. We need the system to understand what we're going through out here. We need the system to understand no justice, no peace is more than just a chant. It's real out here.
The mayhem began not long after the funeral for Freddie Gray, who died of injuries suffered in police custody. Gray's mother was quick to condemn it.
I want y'all to get justice for my son, but don't do it like this here. Don't tear up the whole city, man, just for him. It's wrong.
Police officers were hit by bricks tossed by rioters. Among the buildings torched, a senior center being built by a Baptist church. Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake imposed a week-long curfew, calling the violence the work of thugs.
I understand anger, but what we're seeing isn't anger. It's destruction of a community, the same community they say they care about. They're destroying.
Just before sunrise, volunteers with shovels and brooms started cleaning up the area outside a burned-out store. WTOP Radio's Nick Iannelli.
As you drive through the city of Baltimore, buildings are still smoldering this morning. There are some streets so littered with glass and debris that you can't even travel across them. You see fire engines every minute, just about, as they try desperately to keep up with fires still breaking out this morning.
CBS's Chip Reed says reinforcements have arrived.
The Maryland National Guard rolled into a wounded Baltimore early this morning.
The National Guard represents a last resort in order to restore order.
Governor Larry Hogan said he had to wait for the city's mayor to make the call. After a day marked by property destruction, looting, and fires, Maryland State Police are now running the show in the city of 620,000, and the National Guard is taking its orders from Major General Linda Singh.
We are going to be patrolling the streets, coming in with up-armored Humvees.
Officers in riot gear were deployed, but Baltimore's police commissioner, Anthony Batts, said their resources were stretched thin.
Baltimore is almost close to about 80 square miles. We had opposite ends of the city pulling us at the same time.
At least 15 officers were injured in what Batts called a very trying and disappointing day.
I am proud of the officers who were out there sustaining rocks and bottles, who were hit in the head, who were sent to the hospital, and their courage is standing tall.
Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred postponed last night's Orioles-White Sox game in Baltimore and is considering what to do the rest of the week.
It's possible games could be played elsewhere. That's possible.
Baltimore schools and most government buildings in the city are closed today. Now to Washington, where the U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments in a few hours on same-sex marriage. It's legal in 36 states and D.C., and the cases before the justices come from four of the 14 states that have bans. CBS's Barry Bagnano begins our coverage from the High Court.
During an extended two-and-a-half-hour argument, there will be two critical questions. Must states license same-sex marriages? And if not, must they recognize marriages legally licensed in other states? Robert Muse of the American Freedom Law Center sees no broad constitutional right.
It is, without a doubt, a proper exercise of a state's sovereign authority to resolve this public policy issue by preserving the long-standing and traditional definition of marriage and family.
In the courtroom, lead plaintiff Jim Obergefell will wear a ring containing ashes of his spouse, John Arthur.
I'm honored and humbled. Our marriage can be such a big part of this important civil rights effort.
Unable to wed in Ohio, he and Arthur, who had Lou Gehrig's disease, held a ceremony in a medical jet on a Baltimore airport tarmac.
We should not have had to go through the pain and discomfort that John experienced. We deserve the same rights as any other couple.
CBS News senior legal analyst Andrew Cohen considers Justice Anthony Kennedy a key vote.
Justice Kennedy has been the patron saint of the constitutional fight for equality for gays and lesbians, with a string of rulings in their favor going back 20 years or so.
In one of many demonstrations here, same-sex marriage opponents warned,
if the Supreme Court dares to issue a Roe versus Wade of marriage, we will not obey it. We will not follow an unjust ruling.
The decision is expected in late June.
This is Steve Futterman in West Hollywood. In this city, with its large gay and lesbian population, today's arguments are being closely watched.
We have a good shot at it.
Some have even targeted specific judges.
Yeah, I think everyone's looking at Kennedy and certainly Roberts.
Many have been following the legal battles for years. Now that the final decision appears to be near,
I think we're all shocked by the speed of how this has happened.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, West Hollywood, California.
Rescuers in Nepal are still finding people injured in last weekend's earthquake. The death toll tops 4,400 now. CBS's Holly Williams is in the capital, Kathmandu.
The fear here in Nepal is that there could be many more dead and injured in remote towns and villages where help still isn't getting through. We went to the town of Bhaktapur this morning, where the Nepalese police told us nearly 250 people lost their lives to the earthquake. International rescue and medical teams are making their way into Nepal, but the aid has been slow in arriving, and in some cases it's even been turned away because Kathmandu's airport is simply too small to cope with so much traffic.
And aid officials say about 1.5 million people need food and shelter. In South Korea, the captain of the ferry that sank last year, killing more than 300 people, has been sentenced to life in prison by an appeals court. His original sentence was 36 years. It's sanity versus insanity at the Colorado movie massacre trial of James Holmes. D.A. George Brockler says two prosecution doctors have evaluated Holmes.
Both of them say the same thing. But that guy was sane when he tried to murder all those people in that theater.
Public defender Daniel King presented a different story.
The reason is that he has a psychotic delusion that he thinks it will somehow increase his self-worth.
Some wounded victims expected on the stand today. Bumblebee Foods and two managers at a tuna plant in Southern California have been charged with violating safety rules. It stems from the 2012 death of a maintenance worker who was inside a huge oven cleaning it when another worker, not knowing that, turned the oven on. The Senate's opening debate on a measure that gives Congress sway over any nuclear agreement the Obama administration works out with Iran.
The bill gives Congress 30 days to review a final deal. Kansas Republican Jerry Moran.
We must ask, does this pending accord make the world safer or more dangerous?
With veto-proof majorities, the House and Senate could block the lifting of sanctions. But some Republicans who seek changes say that two-thirds bar is too high. Foreign Relations Chair Bob Corker urges his colleagues not to back amendments that could derail the bipartisan support for the bill.
Without this legislation passing, Congress will have zero role.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Senate Rules Committee is being asked to give preference to contractors that pay a living wage to workers at the Capitol. It comes after reports that a Senate cafeteria worker makes so little he sleeps outside a subway station. And that's the World News Roundup for Tuesday. I'm Steve Kaif in CBS News.